Hi, I'm Laura. Join me on TV Torture with my husband, Jacob, for your weekly dose of TV breakdowns, rants, and marriage therapy. You'll laugh, you'll cringe, and maybe, just maybe, you'll start questioning your own TV choices or your partner's. Don't miss it. Listen to TV Torture wherever you get your podcasts. It's the only place where the shows are torturing me and my marriage is just collateral damage.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network, stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Movie Torture, where we watch bad movies so you don't have to. With us always is the goat of podcasting, the man, the leader, the one who keeps us going, Brad, the OG of Movie Torture. We have Roger with his locks, long flowing locks with us tonight. And with us today, we have the one and only who never lets anything slide, Miss Laura on the podcast, and me and myself, Jacob. Tonight, we get to review together Celtic Pride. What's up, everybody?
What is happening? We have the legend himself back. It's been a while, Roger. We thought that you had abandoned us, but you were back.
I'm here.
What's going on? Well, I mean, this is the perfect show for you to make your glorious return. I feel like Laura, he's the pro wrestler who is he is like Hulk Hogan if Hulk missed a little bit and then he comes back and he's got the robe and he drops the robe on the ring and he's ready to fight.
That visual is not good,
right? I know. I was like when he came back as Hollywood Hogan, like what?
It's Hollywood.
a lot of comebacks for Hulk, but sure.
For our listeners, you know, Roger has a wig on right now. He's got the Hulk Hogan hair.
Yeah, the half
hair.
He's got the toupee tonight. He's rocking the toupee.
Yeah.
Roger, good to see you. Have you ever? This might be a first in Movie Torture. History. I don't know if Roger's ever recorded with Laura. Have you recorded with Laura before?
We have not.
Well, no. You're about to. Meet Laura. Listeners, sometimes we don't meet each other until we hit record. And that's what we're doing right now.
Cool, yep. That's true.
Yeah. So, Jacob, what is the movie we're doing tonight? And we're missing MTD, sadly.
We are missing MTD, and I said we are watching from 1996 Celtic Pride, which is all about the Boston Celtics and the Utah Jazz.
First off, this movie, Laura, if you didn't know, was written. Did you see this in the credits? It was written by Judd Apatow, I know. He wrote Knocked Up. He had a big heyday in the 2000s. That was his peak, right? Because he is not peaking anymore.
Yeah. Well, we all have to make our start somewhere.
When did his end? What was his last big movie? Yeah.
What is it? Like, This Is 40?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I went and saw This Is 40 in the theaters, and it was not good. We weren't 40 at the time.
Oh.
would it be funny now if you watched it because you're over 40?
Oh my gosh. Should we do a This Is 40 rewatch? The problem is it's 2 hours, 14 minutes. That's a long time.
What got you.
That's a long
That's what got you.
It's 13 years ago. That it's 13 years is this.
So now
is 40.
It would be This Is 50.
Yeah.
He should make a sequel. I'm looking at the last thing he directed. I watched The King of Staten Island with
I did not watch that.
Pete Davidson.
It was okay. It wasn't great. I didn't watch The Bubble. I think that was a Netflix movie about COVID. It was a movie they shot during COVID. It was, I don't want to watch that. MTV likes the show he created on Netflix called Love. He's like, you got to watch The Love. It's really good. So I watched The Love. But you're right. I think This Is 40 was his last big theatrical movie 13 years ago.
This is big box
Yay.
Office.
Okay, but he was hitting it, Roger. He had, in a matter of, hold on. He had, okay, he did This Is 40, or 40-Year-Old Virgin in 2005. Knocked Up 2007. Funny People, which was a turd. Kristen and I went and saw that in the
so
theaters
bad.
Too. It was not funny at all.
No.
And then This Is 40. And then he did Trainwreck. Oh, he did Trainwreck in 2015. That was the Amy Schumer crap fest. I didn't watch Trainwreck. I tried. It was too stupid for me. I couldn't get into it.
Amy Schumer curse.
Yeah, did you like that movie, Roger? Are you a train wrecker?
No. I mean, I watched it, but I didn't. I can't say I liked it.
Yeah, it's not any good. Amy Schumer, yeah. We've talked about her on here before. She's not funny at all, and we suffered through. What was the name of that movie, Laura, we watched that she did this year?
Oh my kind gosh. Of Pregnant?
Yeah, Kind of Pregnant.
That was hilarious.
It was a pretty good movie. It was hilarious.
It was kind of funny.
I'm not a fan of Schumer. But
that Schumer goes right humor? Along with her. I don't know if I should say this with Laura on here. I was going to be mean, but I'm going to be mean anyway. So it's kind of like her profile picture, kind of ugly. That would kind of go like right along with it. So.
Oh my! Wait, are you talking Amy Schumer or Laura?
No, Amy Schumer.
Oh,
no.
Say.
No. Don't be talking trouble.
I'm offended. As a fellow ugly person, I am offended.
The way he phrased it, Laura, he goes, you know, I'm not going to say it because Laura's on here. Well, I'm going to say it. It's because they're a profile picture, kind of ugly.
Yeah. No. Don't be starting trouble.
Well, you know.
What's my first movie torture fight on air? Mutual fight. Feud. Roger will be throwing fists at his computer. And then Jacob's throwing fists at his computer, and Laura's throwing fists at the computer. We're all just throwing fists.
Oh, I thought we could just do it in the chat, like block.
Oh, we could.
Yeah.
MTD's the ref. MTD's the ref, the guy that does nothing in wrestling, just walks around and like pretends to be a ref, but he's not. That's what MTD is.
Purposefully looks the other way.
Not looking when I see Laura Roger in the stones.
That's my first. I don't know you.
Yeah. Then you got Hannah and Ashley. They're the announcers. And Ashley's like, muscle. Somebody got their chin kicked. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
And hilarious.
What would a one-liner be? He would just be standing there doing nothing.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, what's the movie we're doing tonight? Did we say it already?
I think we did.
Yeah. We said Celtic Pride.
A few times.
Okay, for the fourth time, we're doing Celtic Pride. And Roger, Laura and Jacob are not going to get this, but I felt like I watched this movie with my wife and Max on the big screen in our basement. I felt like I was watching you and Brandon, your lives. Minus not being mean to Crystal. I feel like if Daniel Stern was a loving husband, I was watching you and Brandon. Dan Aykroyd is totally Brandon in this movie. He is totally Brandon. And wrong.
I don't know.
Brandon is Roger's friend, by the way, guys. Listeners, that is Roger's friend, who is a sports fanatic.
I don't want to say he's a fanatic. He's more of a curmudgeon. He basically complains about everything. He's like a Dallas Cowboy fan. He's the worst Cowboy fan ever. The way I
isn't that every Cowboy fan?
He's super negative. Like most Cowboy fans are like, this is our year. You know, Brandon's like, I don't even want to watch football because I know we're not gonna make it to the playoffs anyway. So, but yeah, there are some tendencies there. I think more on the Daniel Stern side. He's more of a Daniel Stern side because I think he's got some, you know, superstitions and stuff like that. You know, where
this movie starts out in hilarious fashion for me. You have this gym teacher who I feel like is days away from eating a bullet. Like, I just feel like his life sucks. Am I wrong, Jacob? Like, he's sitting there telling these kids, he's being totally...
Number one, how's he employed? Like, he's, like, cussing at the kids. He's swearing at them. These are, like, elementary kids. Then he goes...
You gotta remember, it's Boston. They pretty much swear all the time.
That's true, but still... And then he goes in his office and lights a heater like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, and his wife. Can your wife just show up, walk in there? Like schools are on lockdown. I guess back in the 90s they weren't back as locked down. But nah. Hold on, I never saw rogue hotties walk in the hall though. Did anybody ever, Laura? Did you ever see a rogue hottie walk in the hall?
At school?
At school,
who
yes.
Shouldn't have been there?
Yes, you don't see that much. No, in movies, no, it's always she get worked... free. What is... Oh, Roger's clocked out on us. I figured that's going to happen.
I thought she also worked at the school. Like, that would make sense if she also worked at the school. They never said, so that was just my backstory for her.
Why in God's name is she with him? Like, he definitely outkicked his coverage with her.
Yeah, he.
My guess is they got together in high school and never broke up. That was my backstory.
My guess is he knocked her up, and her Catholic family was like, "You gotta marry him. You gotta." But in the Boston way, you gotta marry him, or I'm gonna kill him. And then so they got married. And she's been putting up with his sports love ever since. That's what I think. That's my story.
For Brad, should they remake this movie with Mark Wahlberg?
You know, it would be funnier if you put Mark Wahlberg and Ben Affleck as the fanatics of this movie. This movie could only have been made that year, Roger, because they were focusing on losing the garden, right? So that was true. They had to get this movie out.
Which was one of the greatest events of all time when they tore that rat hole down.
Yeah, I had no sympathy for the garden.
For this movie, like in 96, is the Celtics and the Jazz the big team everybody's really that pumped up of? Celtics always. Everybody loves the Celtics. But the Jazz? Come on.
Well, 96.
No. Yeah.
96 was probably the end of the Celtics kind of. Brad, what year was it the Hornets beat them in the playoffs? What, 93?
That was 93-94.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is when they started to go downhill. Reggie Lewis passed away and the old guys, Mikael and those guys retired. So, yeah, this was kind of a phase out for the Celtics. And the Jazz were actually pretty good back then, because they had Karl Malone and John Stockton. It's not the team that I would have picked for, like, why not do the Lakers? I mean, since that's the rivalry, it's always been the rivalry, you know, between the two teams.
I think the Lakers are like, we're not putting our names on this. But
yeah.
But the Jazz were good and the Lakers weren't at this point, Roger. I think they just – this was like that – they just got – well, they got Shaq that year, so they could have been
– Yeah. Well, Bill Murray was sent a script for this movie, and after he read it, he said – you know, and he was asked, like, why he didn't do it, and he said – Yeah, there's no way. He's like, no, he said after he watched the movie, he'd never, at any time Avatar sent him a script, he turned it down because of this
movie. Oh, because of this?
Yes, how bad this movie was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like Bill Murray's being a little harsh on this movie. I mean, it's not that stupid, but I don't know. His priorities are all out of whack. One of my favorite scenes, Laura, in this whole movie was when he tells his son that they're getting a divorce. How did he say it? It was, hold on. I gotta look.
You gotta find, because there's something like, well, son, we're getting a divorce. See you later. And then just drives off like it's a dead end.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm looking at some of the lines because I like looking at the quotes.
There was no, I still love you, that we'll, you know, I'll still see you, we'll be together. He's just like, oh, it's done, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know if I can find that quote, but it was like, it was very like cold. And his son's like, okay, and he drives away. Because I think he is in love with sports more than he is with his wife.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Which, you know, makes this movie hilarious when they have the opportunity to meet Larry Bird, which would be an amazing feat. And, you know, we find out they have a cop friend who looks like Joe Pesci. They should have just cast Joe Pesci in this movie.
Yeah.
And been a Home Alone, like, it would have made more money if it had been Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern as the Fanatics, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over Dan Aykroyd. People would have been like, oh, I want to see these two. And they're bumbling because they, you know, they're going to kidnap, spoiler alert, kidnap Damon Wayans, who couldn't look less like a pro basketball player than me.
Oh, it was a horrible choice.
He was a terrible choice. He doesn't look like a basketball player to me. He looks like a comedian. And he's kind of a jerk. He's a big jerk.
Yeah.
It's, you don't know, that's the problem, I think, Roger, with this movie. You don't know who to root for.
Well, my thing was, is they played every game at the Garden. Why didn't they play in Utah? They didn't play any games in Utah at all. You know, I'm like, seven game series, you're supposed to split it.
Well, no, I think
the Salt Palace. Come on.
I think back then, Roger, it was a 2-3-2 format, and we only got to see the last two games.
Correct.
It was a 2-3-2 format back then. So
the last two games.
Yeah, so the last two were in Boston. But I do think it would have been funny had the guys kidnapped him. And oh my gosh, this would have made a funnier movie. And they have to road trip him back to Utah for the game because they feel guilty. And they don't want to go to jail, so they pack him in a van. And you're watching these three schlubs drive from Boston to Utah in a matter of 2 days. I think that would have been a funnier movie.
It would have been funny.
As someone who has road tripped to Utah multiple times, like, that is the worst drive known to man. It is so boring. There's nothing. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to do. There's no big cities.
But there could be a boring drive. They could end up in Vegas. Yeah. They could end up in Chicago. I mean, you could have a couple big spots where they end up in the movie just to make it hilarious. They could end up in Iowa and meet weirdos. They could go by the Field of Dreams field out there and throw him out for a reason. I mean, you have so many callbacks in this movie you could make. But I get it. Apatow was not taking it out of Boston. I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
I disagree. Should have come out of Boston.
A lot of money, too.
Yeah. But Larry Bird, terrible actor. You agree, Laura?
He's a basketball player. I don't think they hired him for his acting skills. It's like, who's a recognizable name? But I do think it's interesting that, like, for the basketball teams, they didn't have basketball players. Like, to make Damon Wayans look somewhat credible, they had to have actors instead of basketball players.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah, even the white guys who played on the Celtics didn't look like the normal white guys that played on the Celtics.
Yeah, it looked I mean, the NBA obviously approved this, right? Because they got to use the stuff.
Yeah. Anytime you're able to use the logos and the team names and, yeah.
So, I mean, they did get to approve it, but I don't know. It didn't look real. The court, nothing to me felt like we were actually watching a legit basketball game.
No.
And
not out of high school, no.
How do you get that kind of access to go to a club and meet what we're supposed to understand is the Michael Jordan of the league, right? Or the Charles Barkley?
Well, they got into the club because they knew the bartenders or the people running it. So they got them in. Because they called them to tell them that guy's there, and they're like, all right, we got to get to this place. And their original plan was just to get him really drunk so he would sleep in and miss the game. But they got so drunk and hung out that they all just passed out together, and then now he's at their house. And
But no, okay. Two guys looking like that should not get in a nightclub. No.
That's what I'm saying, a nightclub with him? Yeah. Like, I've shared my story. I couldn't get into the Vegas nightclub. Because I look like me. I look better than those two at the point that when I was in my 20s.
But you don't have that Boston Brotherhood.
Oh, my God. This movie needed more Wahlberg.
And the other thing that's not real is Larry Bird would never be found in a dance club. I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he would be riding his tractor back home, you know, getting a good night's sleep.
Was he even a Celtic in 95?
No.
96?
No, he had retired by then.
Yeah, because remember Dream Team 92 was about
Cleveland.
Yeah.
You're right. He wouldn't have been. But these two idiots decide to be jazz fans. Which
no, they have to be. Oh, yeah, they're trying to be jazz fans to trick him.
They have to be to seduce him.
Yeah.
And their man aura made Damon Wayans be their friend. You're right. We do need more Wahlberg. He would have been like, "Oh, I'm a Boston fan. I love my Celtics. Go Celtics. Go eat at Wahlburgers." They would have done that. But then they kidnap him and they take him back to their dumper, to Dan Aykroyd's dumper of an apartment, right?
Yep.
And now they are holding him. This movie would have been better if John Kramer would have been coaching them in this movie. That's what I think.
Well, which is funny, is like, why did they go to the extreme? They felt they had to tie him up when it was just a simple case of they got drunk together because he was partying with them willingly. Just let him go, and it's over.
Yeah. But they couldn't let him go. But
why could they? Nothing happened. Well, the movie would be over. But
they got so drunk, I think he woke up before they did, right?
They woke up before he did, and then they tie him up, and he wakes up as they tie him up. But like he willingly was partying with him, and they could have just been like, "Oh, sorry, man." But yes, the movie would have been over. I guess that's why this movie's not so great.
It would have been over.
Yeah. End scene.
And that was Celtic Pride.
Right.
The thing is, we all know people like them in our life, right? That are like just hardcore, absolutely
crazy
lunatics, right? And
yeah.
that cop was crazy. Like, could you imagine a real like a police officer being like, where he's just like, they're like, what if we accidentally kidnap somebody? He's like, I'd be fine. Like, he was all for it. He's like, do it.
But these guys are heading to federal prison, right? I mean. Could you imagine today, for one, let's imagine LeBron James goes missing. I mean, we're getting hard time for that if us four decide to kidnap LeBron James, right?
Well, you're making it him to, you ain't, if he's in a club like that, you're not getting him to your apartment anyways without people knowing, because you're going to have all the paparazzi media just all over him everywhere he goes. So
plus his bodyguards ain't gonna let us.
Right.
But did he have bodyguards? Did Damon Wayans have bodyguards, or was he just singling it?
He was just singling it. No. He should have.
But
security has stepped up its game since this movie. This movie has saved lives.
9/11.
When you go to your
training video.
Yeah, when you go to your NBA rookie symposium for the training, it goes, welcome to the symposium. Because of Celtic pride, you will be required to have security at your strip clubs.
No, even better to make sure that they're like beware of who they're hanging out with and going to. They make them watch that like 10-minute clip of the club and be like, this could happen to you if you're not careful.
Yep. Then someone comes on, they're like, what would you have done? Discuss amongst yourselves how we could have prevented this.
Yeah, and they're watching it. Do you think anybody in the NBA today has seen this movie? I doubt it, right?
I doubt it. Maybe Larry Bird because he was in it, but I doubt it.
I lived in Utah during this 1996, and we were insanely proud of this movie for some reason. We were really excited, so yeah.
Because it was the Jazz, and you guys are lame.
Yeah, I'm not debating that, but we were really jazzed about this movie, no pun intended, about this movie. So stoked that they changed their logo, like, what, a year later?
Oh my gosh, they did.
Yeah, to the mountains. We hate, hate those mountains.
Yeah, I don't like the mountains. I like the old school Jazz jersey like they were rocking in this. But the coach is Shooter McGavin, right? We did talk about Shooter McGavin being the coach, which he was good. And if I was this guy's teammate, I would just despise him. Like, he was not a good teammate.
100%. I would never give him the ball.
Yeah, I would never give him the ball. Like, I would be like, man, I don't care. I'd rather lose without him than win with him.
Absolutely.
Then you'd be out. You wouldn't be starting. You'd be right in the bench.
But then,
but if the whole team does it, don't matter.
So Max played a soccer game last week, and they had – Max is in the 14-under league, and they had this big dude who's darker skinned, I'm going to say, and big black kid. And he was like 6 foot. He was taller than everybody. And he had one move, and it was just to kick the ball hard. And it would always go – he hit two goals, but he was like 2 for 20 because he would kick too hard over the net every time. And I remember telling my wife, like, this guy's a terrible teammate. Like, he's the only one that shoots. He never passes. He was like the Damon Wayans of kids soccer, but not good. At least Damon Wayans is good. And I was like, why would you want to be this guy's teammate? I would be so discouraged if I was playing soccer and I knew this guy was going to kick it every time.
Yeah.
But
I don't know where the story was going, but it was.
But like every sports movie has that, does it not? Like, you know, every sports movie has the one guy who's over arrogant and has. I mean, most kind of play that whole trope.
Yeah. But this movie,
I think one of the biggest problems this movie had around that time frame, there were so many other better sports movies out there, like way better sports movies, that this kind of just kind of lost it in the dust.
Wait, what was another good sports movie in 96?
'96 it might have been, I believe, well, one of my favorites came out, I think, around that time, which was Little Big League, which was 1,000 times better than this movie.
This is the year the Mark Wahlberg opus Fear came out, right? We've
done it. It is.
That's why he couldn't do this movie. He was in the throes of underage love with Reese Witherspoon in Fear. That's what was happening.
When did Field of Dreams come out?
That was 87.
It was 87.
89. Was it 89?
So
yeah,
we've got Happy Gilmore. We've got Space Jam. Ed.
So there you go. I'd rather watch all those movies than over this.
Ed, we haven't done Ed yet. Are we going to do Ed? That's, I mean, that's the Tanya Haddock's dream movie, right? That's got Matt LeBlanc with a monkey.
With a chimp.
Yep. With a chimp. Okay, Ed is on the list now. Roger, Ed is on the list. So now they have, the wife shows up at the house. They got to hide him. And see, this is where this movie's stupid, because if my wife showed up to, let's imagine Laura's gone and Kristen's out and they show up at Jacob's house. Laura comes home with Kristen and they find out that we have a superstar locked in a closet. I feel like our wives are turning us in at that point.
100%
100% 100% Tipping TNT. We're collecting that reward money. Yeah. We're doing everything we can.
Because now his son and his wife are accomplices, right? They know that he has this superstar that doesn't want to be your hero locked up in a closet.
But you also got to remember, no one thinks he's kidnapped at this point because they just think he's a terrible teammate who didn't show up for the game, like always, or for practice.
Yeah, you would think someone would have a hotel room key that they could go wake him up. But I guess if he's not in the hotel room.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they know that he wasn't there?
Yeah.
That he never came home? Yeah.
Yeah, they knew he wasn't at the hotel room, but that was, I mean, that's how this whole movie kind of plays out, that that's his, like, MO, so no one's worried about him or cares, really.
But yeah. I'd see, if he, but see, that's the, therein lies the problem with this movie.
The problem? What
do you root for? What do you root for? Do you root for these losers who kidnap a dude, or do you root for the dude who is a jerk? Like, nobody's likable except the wife and the son in this movie.
That's not true. There's one more likable person. The poor guy who was almost going to get to play because he wasn't showing up for basketball was so excited to prove that he was going to do a great job.
Even the coach isn't likable. Shooter McGavin, he's not. Wait,
no, he's not.
Did Shooter McGavin do this and Happy Gilmore in the same year?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
they came out the same year. Yeah.
I wanted him to look at Damon Wayans and say, eat bleep, like he does. I eat bleep like you for breakfast. That's what I wanted him to say. That would have been hilarious.
So that's about the only character I rooted for in this movie, was that I was really hoping he was going to get to play a minute.
Well, I kind of felt bad for the Jimmy McCarthy guy who was blamed for being the reason that they lost the year before or whatever.
That's right. Yeah.
Sorry, Aunt Live.
I'm just thinking about, like, the maybe the crowd. They were kind of funny. The people that sat around them. Are we to believe these dudes do that same routine every time they walk in the garden? I would want to punch them for that. They are the most annoying. And then he watches the game on his TV, which is even more dumb to me.
Yeah. But I think that plays into the whole, like, Boston, like, superstition and all that. Like, that part was funny. That scene was funny, like, when they're making them all change seats, and then they're making the whole row move. Everybody's not sitting in their seat. Now everybody's back sitting in their seat.
Yeah.
Like, that was funny. That was funny.
I used to go over to my buddy Mike's house and watch the game with our friend Randy. They're older guys, and we would watch the Panther games every Sunday after church. I'd go over there, and we had our seats. So when we came in, we'd have to sit in the same spot. And at halftime, if they're losing, we rotate. Like, we change the spot to try to make it.
So you lived this movie.
I've lived this movie. I know what it's like to be superstitious. Like, I will stand up during the game. Roger, you're kind of, are you like this?
No.
Rod?
Not at all. My brother-in-law, he's a Tar Heel fan. And he will, if the Tar Heels are playing well, he won't watch because he's afraid if he starts watching, they'll start to go downhill. So he'll ask, like, okay, you know, how'd the game go and stuff like that, because he's like, he's afraid that if he messes up, you know, watching it or not watching it, then they'll start losing.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you're not like that, Jacob.
I am not like that at all.
Not at all.
They're losing. He has to start going boop, 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 over it like 50 times to make sure it's done. Oh, my gosh.
Drum rolls his belly. No.
Yeah, that would not be amazingly crazy. Oh, drum roll the belly? Oh, my gosh, that'd be amazing.
I have like 15 bobbleheads around me. I have to make sure all their heads are shaking.
During the field goal kick that you need, you're like,
oh, it's like, let's go.
Laura, you were standing there with your finger on your nostril. Put it back on there right now. She has to be like, okay, Jacob, why don't you get a kick? I walk in and you're like one leg.
Laura'd be out in a hot second.
Oh my gosh. She'd be like, that's a no for me, dog.
She would.
Nope.
She would.
Nope.
Yeah. No.
She'd be like, hard pass.
Hard pass. Yeah. So now they decide to, he almost breaks free, right? Because he gets out of the truck. How this man could not outrun these two out of shape middle-aged men, I'll never understand. I feel like I could be chased down by anybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they?
That was the most unbelievable part of this movie.
Because at that point, when he gets out of the truck, it's on. He's turning them in. But then they end up shooting hoops, right? Aren't they shooting hoops? Did I remember that right?
Yeah.
What was that about? Shooting hoops. They're just like, is this where they're supposed to bond, right? This is the key scene where they become like brothers.
They like, this is the key scene where they change his ways and make him realize that, because they kind of, they start digging in on him about how he's not a good team player and he's miserable and no one likes him. And they kind of start really bashing in on him on that. That's supposed to be the pivotal moment that changes for the outcome of what's about to ensue in this final game.
Stating the obvious. Yeah.
Right. Like, now he's going to be the expert team player. And which that scene was pretty funny though. The first time, like when that, cause he starts the game not doing it. Then he decides I'm going to be the team player. So he goes to pass the ball and just knocks the dude right out because no one's used to him passing the ball to anybody. So he just takes it right into the face guard. Now, yeah, just takes it right to the head.
Now, these two morons actually played it off like I would have played it off, wearing the Jazz jerseys to pretend like they want the Jazz to lose. That would have...
No, they had to.
I know they had to, but the people around them
were
going to roast them for wearing the Jazz jersey.
That's right. And they're like, and so they played it off very well.
They're like, oh, this is just to make sure they lose.
Right. When we wear our Celtic jerseys, they've been losing, so we're going to wear the Jazz jersey.
That was good. That was a good play. But
that was good.
They had a lot riding on this. They were looking at prison time, possibly.
Yeah.
Or money. Wasn't it money or prison? Right?
It was prison. Just prison. Because Dan Aykroyd starts going crazy at the end because he doesn't know how to react because he's very sad that the Celtics are going to lose, but he also doesn't want to go to prison, so he's about to have a mental breakdown.
It does have I will say it has a good ending, but yeah, there's not much to this movie when it comes
You are not becoming best friends with someone you just kidnapped, especially when they're a celebrity and don't care who you are.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's no way Damon Wayans is like, you know what? These two losers, gym teacher and a plumber, who
are not my best friends.
Power move, watching the game at the mansion you're doing the plumbing at. That is a power move. And then asking if he can stay a little longer, and then calling his mom to like give him the play by play. I can't imagine Max calling my wife and saying, "Mom, give me the play by play right now," and pressing them like,
"Nah, I'm good."
There's not much to this movie. It's a weird movie. First time I've ever seen this movie, by the way.
It was fun. The very end, it was funny though, when they now are wearing their Patriots hat and they break in and you see Deion Sanders' face. He's like, what's going on?
No.
The future. So clearly
they did not learn their lesson at all.
No, lessons weren't learned.
Yeah, his wife left him, right? Like, eventually she's leaving him. There's no way she's sticking around.
Well, according to this movie, it's all happy ending.
Nah.
She should leave him for his friend. That's what should happen.
For Dan
Aykroyd. He gets his life together and she leaves him for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Dan Aykroyd's so, so traumatized after all this experience, he just gives up sports altogether. So she gets uberly attracted to him now because he's like done with sports and he wants to be a father figure. And,
he starts like running game nights, but not, but like he's playing like Catan and and he judges people who like sports. He's constantly like, well, how would you like those? That's ridiculous. He's that guy.
Mm-hmm. His new business, he stopped doing a plumber. His new business now is he's like a mentor in like a motivational speaker to break people away from sports. Yep. To break people out of their craziness in sports. Like he's started a whole program.
That would have been a funny ending.
He's Stuart Smalley.
Yes. Oh, he becomes Stuart. He does. No, no.
That would have been a funnier ending. I still think the road trip would have been good. He now is a therapist. If you wanted to make a sequel,
or what would have been good is if Jack Nicholson, you know, would have come in and been his anger coach or his, you know, if that would have been him sitting in a counseling group with Jack Nicholson and some of those people from that movie.
Yeah, Goose Rubber.
I think this ending would have been funny. You have him. You have Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern. They win the opportunity to push the to bring the garden down, and there, and then Larry Bird walks up and he goes, "These guys aren't Celtic fans; they're Jazz fans." And everybody goes, "Boo!" And they start throwing things at him. That would have been. As the garden falls behind them, and then it goes in credits.
When did the garden come down?
That year, that I think season. That was the last season.
So, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't do a tribute to that towards the end of the movie. So that would at least give it something, at least like be people entertained to watch it, like this big tribute to the garden.
Yeah, like, they could have showed old clips of the garden and like, yeah.
Right.
I think the garden went down while they were filming because this was released in 96, and I think the garden went down in 95.
Okay, but couldn't they have
done
like a tour, showed you the locker rooms or something, and just said, you know, Boston Garden classic games? I don't know. The NBA obviously endorsed this movie because they let them wear the jerseys.
The NBA didn't watch this movie before they endorsed it.
Yeah.
They would have. They would have said, nah.
They were hoping this was going to be like Space Jam.
Yeah.
A hit. But this movie.
Well, Space Jam hadn't come out yet. They came out the same year. The same year.
Yeah, they were hoping this and Space Jam would be great for the NBA. Yeah. And this was not great. Space Jam was.
A year for basketball, 96.
Oh, gosh.
Well, so, also Space Jam had Michael Jordan that everybody cared about and was going to watch.
And the Looney Tunes,
This had Damon Wayans. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know who this movie's for, honestly. I guess
jazz fans.
Yeah. Only for Laura and her jazz fans.
Don't let me in.
Jacob, what are some good negative reviews for this movie?
This one I found quite funny. This is from someone named Lorenzo. Says, sometimes I'd just like to punish myself. if you say this movie sucks in an English accent, you're funnier than this movie. Which I don't understand that review, but just
because accents are funny.
This one's just terrible. This one says, if this was about actual Celtic fans, this would be 1,000 times more racist.
It would be. I have some. This is from Jewel Patterson, January 26, 2025. Oh my gosh, man.
I mean, Lisa's not like 2 weeks ago, so where it's a little more distant.
This is a lighthearted comedy. It won't win an Oscar, but if you like Dan Aykroyd, you'll like it. Disagree. No. Trent writes in 2024 of October, crazy classic crazy buddy comedy. Amazon customer wrote, great movie and plays great in my player. shocked to get it actually been now. Amazon seems to only send out loose discs. This is not even for DVDs. I don't even this guy is this person. This is a Laura fan. Go Jazz. Great Irish holiday movie or something to watch while the Celtics are losing.
Irish holiday.
And then Mark Wahlberg writes, Bean Town, baby. No, he didn't write that. That would have been hilarious.
Eat it, Wahlburgers.
Eat it, Wahlburgers. Wahlburgers would have been in this movie if it was made today. They would have done they would have had a Wahlburger scene. Him and Daniel Stern eating at Wahlburgers. That has to happen. Yeah. We need a Celtic Pride 2026 come out.
I mean,
even if you just put put Mark Wahlberg and Kevin Hart in this movie as Celtic fans, this would have been hilarious. And Kevin Hart's constantly riffing on how Boston's racist, but he loves the Celtics. That would have been fun.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, like just give it to him, and then you have Affleck coming around, and you have a Matt Damon cameo in this movie. You have all the Boston people. You have Erin from the Everyday Runner and the Hopecast Network. She's in here as a waitress going, oh, welcome to our Beantown Beanery. Or however they talk. I don't know. They talk like this right here. Anyway, what a movie. Laura, movie torture. What a movie. Movie gold.
Movie torture. This is a terrible movie. Like, my parents love the Jazz, and I couldn't stand the Jazz just because of their love of the Jazz. So anything Jazz related, I say, meh. Thumbs down.
Roger, movie torture, movie go.
Oh, definitely movie torture. You know, it was just horrible from beginning to end, and even in the middle.
Jacob, movie torture, movie go.
I never want to see this movie again, but I'm giving it a Bronx.
So it's torture.
And he paused.
Oh no, he froze. Oh, he froze.
Well, I said bronze, so Jacob's because going I bronze. Loved watching it, but I'll never watch it again. Yeah, but it wasn't
I'm giving it. I was on the fence with the movie gold. I really was, but I can't be the guy that gives us the movie gold.
No. Hold on. Before you say your decision, this is about what you feel. Do not make this rating ruined. It's about what you feel. If you feel it's gold, you give it gold, Brad.
Yeah, stick by your...
I'm not giving it gold. I'm not giving it gold. I'm going to give it a movie torture because I don't ever want to watch it again. And there's nothing memorable about this movie. There's nobody likable. I'm only thinking gold because I feel like we could make this movie so much better today if we had our hands on this IP and we could just change it and make it funnier. Because it's not fun. I'm disappointed in Judd Apatow. He made this. It was terrible. Like, this was a horrible movie, man. It was. But for a moment, I almost said movie gold.
I think I'm moving. Your qualifications for gold are, if I could make it better, it's a gold?
No, I think I'm movie golding my ideas. That's what the problem is. I'm thinking of my ideas and wanting to go movie gold. But in all actuality, I'm going to say movie torture because there's nothing good about this movie.
Brad's ideas, Jacob, movie torture, movie gold.
Oh, those are all of our ideas for the torture. Movie gold.
Torture.
Every idea we pitched on this show tonight is better than the garbage we sat through.
Yes.
Every casting decision.
Every.
Anyway, that's Celtic Pride. Thanks, Roger, for making your cameo tonight. It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jacob. My name is Brad. We will see you next time on Movie Torture. What a...